The student becomes the teacher.
It's Lecture Me, brought to you by Blue Hills Secondhand Books in Parnell.
It is. Is it too early for a lecture? Time to sit up straight, pay attention. What are they teaching at Waipapa Te Matarau, the University of Auckland, these days? And ready to lecture us on the Saturday spring is Caster Chako, and Caster is part of the BFM News team, studying a BA, majoring in Sociology and Political Science, and is here with us now.
Yeah, it's a great morning, very sunny, which I've been liking on my trip in this morning.
Yeah, good. It's very hard to tell what the weather's like when you're in here.
It always feels so shuttled in. I remember there was a few days ago on drive, I think, it was very dark, and then, a few months ago, it was very dark, and then we came out and it was like raining completely, and when we came in it was sunny. It was wild experience there.
But I see that there are some blinds in here now. What a great addition.
Yeah, maybe that'll help out because of this bloody great mirror that's been put up outside the studio.
Yeah, that big reflective mirror, that building behind us. Okay, so you're going to talk this morning about a lecture that you had on New Zealand-China relations from Politics 254 and Politics and International Relations.
It's a good lecture. We talk about the history of New Zealand and China's relationship there. And it's actually, it's a quite interesting relationship, right? So China, you know, cut off from the rest of the world after the revolution in 1949, and then only sort of begun to open back up to the West in like 1978 onwards, right? And so you would think that New Zealand-China relations begin there, but they actually start a lot earlier. So we had a couple New Zealand citizens who went over there and started building these relations even during the period that China was closed off to the rest of the world.
Political citizens?
Well, maybe, but so the first was someone named Rewi Ali, I think.
Yes.
A World War I veteran, moved to China in 1927, became well-liked and well-respected over there. He helped teach, helped found a school, and then he wrote about China as well. So he was an early figure there, sort of during World War II and that period. And then later on, Victor Wilcox, leader of the New Zealand Communist Party, he went over there essentially as some kind of ambassador for New Zealand. And during the period, you know, China's not really talking to many Western countries. He's a major source of outside information there. And he's essentially treated as our state leader. So he's meeting with Mao Zedong, like Deng Xiaoping, these Chinese leaders. Meanwhile, here, he's just a farmer from Rodney.
Right, okay.
So some average Joe
the,
over in
the
New
head
Zealand.
Of the Communist Party.
Yes, yeah. And there he's a respected political leader. So that's quite interesting there. And so when we start, you know, when China opens back up, we get a relationship building there that's got some history, despite us actually not having formal communication.
Right, so this New Zealand-China relations is historic as well as current.
Yeah. There's a bit of build-up there and cooperation previously. And then you can see that through when China opens up, we talk a lot about our four firsts with New Zealand relations with China. Four firsts being we were the first Western country to back China joining the World Trade Organization. We're the first to recognize them as a market economy. We were, in 2008, the first to begin negotiating a free trade agreement. And then later that year, the first to conclude a free trade agreement with China.
Very controversial, it was too.
Yeah. And big choices there. That was, I think, under the Key government. And Key was, famously, he was very supportive of New Zealand's relationship with China. And we've seen that have massive implications for our trade, right? They're now our biggest exporter, they're our biggest importer, and we export the vast majority of our goods, or a larger share, to China than anywhere else. So it's clear that relationship.
What are we exporting to China?
What are we exporting to China? Well, interestingly,
dairy.
Dairy's massive. Our dairy exports make up more than 50% of China's dairy imports. So we're providing a massive amount of the dairy that you eat in China, or that Chinese people eat in China. If you're going around the supermarket there, it's likely that you'll be able to find New Zealand cheese, New Zealand milk, New Zealand milk powder, classic stuff there. And then also we import a lot of technological goods, that sort of thing. Beds, mattresses, interestingly, make up a large portion of our imports from there. Lots of different things there that you'd expect of a large trade power putting out a lot of.
Well, we had that big scandal with baby formula.
Yes, yeah. I expect that China. had a significant impact on exports there. But it seems to have recovered relatively since then, you know. even in 2023, you know, we're still recovering from COVID a little bit, but the numbers are still pretty high. And then, so in that lecture, you know, we're talking about this relationship with China and how we've built this up over the years. But then, interestingly, if we're looking at the relationship now, right, recently, you know, New Zealand is balancing, trying to balance, because on the one hand, you know, our trade relationship with China is very important to our economy. But on the other hand, we have, you know, long-standing relations with the United States, right? And so...
And human rights is a massive problem for some.
A massive issue there. And so we're trying to balance those things out and sort of toe a line in between there. And earlier this year, David Seymour, I think, and Christopher Luxon both talked about joining AUKUS Pillar 2, right, which is something that aligns with our historic agreements, you know, as a Five Eyes member and that sort of thing, and positioning with the United States and Australia.
What is AUKUS Pillar 2?
AUKUS is a nuclear cooperation agreement, the first pillar of it, and so that's an agreement between Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States to cooperate on issues of nuclear power and, I think, nuclear weapons as well. And then Pillar 2, obviously separated a bit from that nuclear part, you know, New Zealand, not too great a history with nuclear power in our country, but definitely more of those security agreements. So looking for security and military cooperation with these other countries. And Pillar 2 would be a bit broader, so including some other powers that maybe aren't in that initial group of just three.
And did you talk about balancing trade with some of the other issues that we have with China?
So we talked a little bit about that. I think there was a visit from China earlier this year where Luxon spoke to, I think, one of their financial ministers about balancing that sort of thing out, right? We obviously value them as a significant trade partner, but Luxon brought up, you know, the human rights violations and other things. You know, there are some issues that New Zealand would like to see China change on, and then they bring up, you know, in the same agreement, they go, in the same conversation, sorry, they go, well, you're joining AUKUS Pillar 2. So it's this bit of, like, back and forth conversation there where it's like, we don't like you for some reason, but we're forced to cooperate. And then they say, we're forced to cooperate, but we don't like you for this other reason.
Well, what about China and the Pacific? Was that part of the lecture?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, not in that lecture, but in some other lectures, you know, that aid cooperation there, China being a huge power in the Pacific in recent years, right, investing a lot in those economies, giving out a lot of loans, supporting a lot of infrastructure there. And that's been seen, especially by the US, as a bit of a threat, right? I think Obama, during his time
more than a
in
bit.
Office, yeah, more than a bit, spoke about moving the attention of the United States from the Middle East to the Asia Pacific region, as we're seeing China exert more power there. And I think Biden called China the most significant security competitor of the United States in the modern era, or something along those lines. And so it's clear there's a bit of competition there between those two, and we can see that with the United States maybe putting a few more resources into that region with something like AUKUS Pillar 2, right, looking to stretch its power a little bit. And so they're playing a bit of a soft power competition there, not necessarily bringing in troops, but looking at things like trade deals, multilateral organizations like the UN, that sort of thing.
Competitor/threat.
Competitor/threat. It's really interesting to listen to all of the dialogue, I guess, around it, right? Because the United States can't really come out and openly call China a threat, but they do almost everything up to that point, right? They say, you know, we don't like this country. They do a lot of things we don't like. China's a little bit less hesitant to call the United States a threat, I suspect, because they don't have the same kind of internal balance checks and rules that the United States does. And so they'll call the United States a threat when it comes to especially preserving their natural interests. And when they're talking about Taiwan, obviously, they tend to do that sort of thing, call the United States a threat.
Okay, then the lecturer was Stephen Noakes. And
So he, great lecturer. I just had my last class with him yesterday. He's an expert on Chinese politics and Chinese relations with New Zealand. I think his main body of research is into activism in China, so looking at things like climate activism, human rights activism, that sort of thing in the region. But it was great to get that sort of knowledge from someone who's been to China several times and has that range of experience and range of knowledge, while also bringing it, you know, from a, I guess, Western perspective, right? He's Canadian, and so it sort of balanced that out there. really informative.
It's just on a completely different subject. I'm quite interested in the music scene in China.
Mm.
It's sort of something that's a bit of an unknown to us.
Yeah, right. I wonder. What kind of? Because I'm assuming we don't get much out of there, but also they might not have much in, and so it's that insular environment where maybe entertainment and creativity shine, right?
Yeah, just their indie scene is very interesting when you get little dribs and drabs of it. You know, artists that are on, you know, it didn't occur to me that there would be an indie label in China.
Yeah.
It's probably more than one, but great, a huge audience, obviously.
Yeah, I'd imagine, right? And you have all these artists who, you know, maybe don't get listened to out here, but I assume would be massively popular over there. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, there's another sort of vein of Chinese music which is copyist of Western. It's a bit schmaltzy. That's generally on their, you know, hit list. But something worth investigating.
Yeah, unique styles there, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And so with this particular degree that you're doing, sociology and political science, how far through are you?
I've just finished up my last class in the second semester of my second year. So I should be able to finish it up either next year or the year after, which is looking pretty good. I'm looking at maybe reducing the workload a little bit as... some people who are listening to the station all the time will have heard my voice around and about, and I'm planning on volunteering here a lot more to balance out that sort of pulling back on my studies a little bit.
Are you? Yeah, so you quite like the media environment.
Yeah, no, it's great. I host the Tuesday Wire, and we do a lot of interviews, political. We do Dear Science, which is a segment where we talk about lots of science stuff there. It's really fun.
Right, so maybe that might be where you see yourself heading.
I think I'm definitely on that trajectory a little bit more now. And this learning, I guess, in these range of different topics, I think is really good because it supports me to make, like, a more founded and bring a larger body of knowledge when I'm talking to people.
Oh, absolutely. So do you still live at home or are you flatting?
I still live at home at the moment, making it a bit of a commute to come in all the way from out west.
What part of the west?
Glen Eden. So it's a bit of a train ride, but it is a nice, especially on sunny mornings like this, I get a bit of a walk in to the train station, and it's quite nice to see all the nice weather.
Oh, thanks so much for coming all this way. You come into Britomart and then walked from Britomart to the university.
Usually come into Grafton and then take the bus from there.
Oh, what a journey. Thank you for doing that.
No worries.
What's the rest of your day hold?
Uni finishing up the semester. I've got a few assignments to take a look at, so I'll be studying, locking in on that, getting an essay written over the next few days. It'll be a bit of a journey, but so, I'm looking forward to it.
Right, bus back to Grafton, train back to Glen Eden.
Maybe stopping off at the library here to do a bit of studying first, just so I can get, you know, out of the house, focus a little bit more.
So dedicated.
Well, it took a lot of effort to... well, since I was in here anyway, I guess it's better to stay and study, lock in.
No, it's admirable. So you've got a choice of a track you want to play, something you've been listening to. It's The Beths.
Yeah.
And what's the song?
I think it's Uptown Girl, right?
I think we've got a live version of it. Not entirely sure where it was recorded.
I haven't heard a live version of it, but I assume it's going to sound great, right?
Well, let's have a listen.
Yeah, let's give it a go.
Castor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day.
And you too.
It won't matter that the sun's shining if you're in the library.
I'll be able to see it through the window, maybe.
Here's The Beths and Uptown Girl live.